560 KSFO. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Good afternoon, everybody. I know you are all eager to skip town and spend some time with your families. Not surprisingly, I am too. But you know what they say, it's the most wonderful press conference of the year. I've got
to go away. It is the last show in the evening of the Savage Nation of the year until New Year's Eve when I do one last night show. Then, of course, January 1st is the big change. And here we are. So I'm going to do this for you tonight. I am going to do this for you tonight. Are you ready? What have you wanted to say on radio all year but have been unable to say? Here's your chance, your one chance, unscreened calls. There are only two rules. No curse words, no death wishes for anyone. The phone number to the Savage Nation, 800-449-8255, 1-800-449-SAVAGE. What have you been just clamoring to say all year on radio but couldn't get through or didn't have the guts? No one else said it. You want to say it. It'll be on screen. Take your shot now. You will speak to more people than you've met in your entire life in the few seconds you're on the air. Who knows where it might lead? Probably nowhere. 800-4 is this. If you have any requests from me, from any of my many books, I will read a passage from you. Or if you simply want me to be Uncle Savage and answer some questions, I can do lifestyle questions. You know, this is a very difficult time of year for most people. They're alone. They're lonely. They're isolated. They feel they should be happy. They're not happy. It's well known that the holidays are amongst the loneliest time of the year, incidentally, which is why you're listening to me tonight, because if you were a normal person, you'd be with a loving family around a Hallmark card event of some kind. Of course, very few people get that experience. Very few people are that lucky. We used to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We're now a government of the judges, by the judges, and for the judges. You want to hear some bad Christmas news? A judge has struck down Utah's same-sex marriage ban, overriding the voters. A rotten, stinking federal judge who's nothing but a filthy lawyer with a black robe has said drop dead to all of the people in Utah, and now you have to take same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage, and love it. What happened to America? How could one single stinking rotten judge named Robert Shelby overturn the will of the people? How is that possible? How is this possible? How could a thug like this, a thug in a black robe, do this? Why do we take this? I don't understand it. Where is it written in our Constitution that we have to be terrorized by a bunch of stinking, rotten, corrupt lawyers in black robes? Where? Show me where in the Constitution it says that it's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Show me where it says. Show me where it says. Show me where it says that. Show me where it says that we shall be ruled by thugs with law degrees. What a nation of wimps. What a nation of wimps. 855-400-7282. It's open mic to mic. What have you wanted to say on the radio all year but couldn't? Or you were afraid to, couldn't get through, last show. It's the last show, you know, of the year. So this is your shot. And if you're, you know, lucky enough to get on through the screener, we'll take it. Let's just get uncalled now. It's uncalled. It's uncalled for calls on this Savage Nation. I am so wacky right now. I feel like a fighter in a 15-round heavyweight fight, and I feel like I'm on the ropes after the 15th round. I'm telling you, I used to watch these 15-round fights, and by the 12th, 13th round, the fighters could hardly lift their arms around each other. And, you know, that I feel like I'm one of those fighters right now. But I know what's going to happen. The minute the calls start to come in, I'm going to get my fourth win back. So let's begin in Boston on WRKL. Rita, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just want to say, why doesn't the Pope sell all that wealth from the Vatican and help the poor directly? He can do it. There's a lot of money there.
You see that? That's not such a bad call. That wasn't bad. The woman makes sense. Since he cares about the poor so much, there are untold riches in Vatican art that could be sold to help all the unwashed masses. Rita, that's what you're saying, yes?
Right, and plus all the Catholic churches here in Massachusetts and so forth, they have an awful lot of property that could be sold.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to help the poor, isn't it? That's what I say to liberals who tell me they're so concerned about the land used to belong to the Mayans and the Aztecs. I said, so give up your house, Mr. Liberal. Take your house in San Francisco or Marin County and sell it and give it to a Mayan. Thanks, Rita. Thanks, Rita. Thanks, Rita. See, we're going to get better calls than we've ever gotten. I'm going to go right down the list. Now we go to Marty on WABC. Marty, go ahead. You're on screen. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike? I wanted to tell you the last couple of weeks, you know, the sign language guy at the
funeral. Oh, yes, the fake sign language guy at Mandela's funeral who just flapped his arms and gesticulated saying nothing along the lines of what our president does on a daily basis, yes?
You know how you do Looney Tunes for Nancy Pelosi? I wanted to get through to you, but I couldn't get through to do Willie and the hand jive when you were talking about this guy. It'd be hilarious.
Marty, where are you right now as you call me? I'm trying to imagine where Marty is. You're in a car or at home?
No, I'm at home in Syracuse.
And you're listening on ABC in Syracuse?
No. That was...
Okay, I see. The screen got the wrong. Whatever. Okay. We got WSRY, I think, in Syracuse, if I'm not mistaken. Don't kill me if I read the wrong signals. The screener's a little flummoxed right now, but he's doing very good. Very good, one step at a time. Let's go across America to another unscreened call. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. Steve, what's your comment, your last comment of the year on the Savage Nation?
I think the woman that was shot in Washington, the dental hygienist, was carrying Obama's baby.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. I have no idea what he's talking about, so we'll just... I know. Yeah, okay, fine. Oh, the one in the car. The one in the car. Oh, I didn't get it. No, I don't. Well, it says he's talking about the woman they executed with the bizarre. You forgot about that already this year? The ones that the great newsmen didn't ask anything about? The same great outraged newsmen who were concerned about Duck Dynasty who said nothing about Michael Savage being banned in England? The great brave newsmen? Yeah. We've gone from a lame duck to Duck Dynasty in one administration. We now have a lame duck dynasty. And a lame duck presidency all at once. A lame duck dynasty all at once. All in limbo. Makes me want to eat duck, but I won't eat the duck. I feel bad for the animals. They're sensible. There's a boy duck and a girl duck. They don't need to watch television to figure that one out. How do the ducks figure it out? How come the boy duck knows to go with the girl duck and to make baby ducks? Did they not go to public schools in America or watch A&E to figure that out? How did they figure it out, the ducks? I realize we're more sophisticated than a duck. Some people would say the animals are more sophisticated than we are. We've degenerated, not progressed. What have you been wanting to say to Michael Savage and your friends on the Savage Nation all year but weren't able to get through? Or is there any other comment you want me to make or any questions you would like me to answer? There's one open line at 855-407-282. Let's go to Michael on KMED. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'd ask you how you're doing, but you're obviously doing fantastic. I got a 30-second poem I'd like to read to you. I think you'll like.
Oh, wait. Now, wait. Whose poem is this?
I wrote it.
All right, fire away. If I don't like it, you'll have to forgive me. Go ahead, fire.
I had a little help from Al Gore, but...
Well, please already. Read it.
Anarchy or tyranny, are they our only choices? When the ones who we elect refuse to hear our voices, they lay their hand upon his book and want up in the air, but do they seem, they don't seem to understand, nor do they seem to care. An oath is taken as a pledge with words that must be spoken, it will not ever fade away, or can it just be broken? For those who serve the people should be held to standards higher, we should not ever tolerate a thief, cheat, or a liar. So build the gallows way up high,
Okay, that's where we have to end. The gallows is where I exit stage right. We can't. I told you there's two rules. There are two rules tonight in the open mic show. You know what they are? Shall I say them again? There's only two rules. No death wishes and no curse words. In other words, everything you really wanted to say, you can't say. You'd really like to curse and wish people ill. I understand that. That's in the human nature. You're fuming. I would suggest that most of the people listening to my show tonight are, something's bothering them. That's why they're listening to the radio now. They imagine the rest of the world doesn't feel the way they do. They imagine the rest of the world is happy and they're sad. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. 855-407-2822 is the Savage Nation. Rick, WCOA in Pensacola, great market. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Doctor. Something I've been dying to say all year. Now is the perfect time to impeach Barack Hussein Obama. His polls are down. His scandals are manifest. In the run-up to the midterms next November, there will be time to conduct enough discovery and an impeachment investigation to turn over enough flat rocks to get hundreds of...
I agree with you in principle. I know that there isn't enough willpower in Congress to actually impeach him, but an impeachment hearing would discover who the man is, what his agenda is, who his affiliation, what his affiliations are, and some of the disastrous events that have occurred in this country, whether it be to our borders, language, and culture. It would also stop him from doing what he's about to do, which is to grant amnesty to 30 million Americans. He must be stopped. That will be the final breaking point, because we'll never, ever have another honest election in the country. But remember what impeachment standards are. What are they? Crimes and misdemeanors, correct? So what crime has he committed?
Am I still on the air?
Yeah. What crime has the president committed in your mind?
Well, of course, he's violated the constitutional admonition to uphold the laws. But in addition to that, there is evidence, at least a lot of smoke, that he's been involved in bribery and scandals of all sorts.
Wait, you're making a broad sweeping statement. What bribery?
We have to turn over the flat rocks. That's what
I understand, but you're making an accusation against the President of the United States. We may not like his radical leftist / socialist / communist policies, but I don't know of any bribery scandals, truthfully. Of all the things you could bring up, I don't think he's enriched himself. Do you?
Well, we won't know until there is discovery. That's the magic word.
All right, but a man is innocent until proven guilty in America. He needs to have some overt act that he has committed. I would tell you one that I think he could be tried for, and that would be the NSA spying scandal. He hasn't stopped it. How about lying about Obamacare? If you want this plan, you can keep it. That's certainly something, isn't it?
Gun running.
All right, well, there are enough smoldering embers for people to start asking these questions. Again, this is the Savage Nation. Grab it while you can. It is the last live evening show of the Savage Nation of the year. That is until New Year's Eve, when I may or may not come back. I could decide I'm not going to do it live, and we'll do a best of. I don't know. Depend upon what happens to me over the vacation. I'm thinking of having a live New Year's Eve party on the air. I mean, next week, look, we got a long way to go till then, and a long way to go till January 1. But I think that people are so pent up, they really want to say things tonight. And the only rules are, you can say what you want, but you can't wish anyone harm, and you can't curse on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
Oh, how modern that is. So computer literate. So Twitter-like. So BlackBerry-ish. So with it.
On Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. It'll be the last Rock and Roll Friday you'll ever hear on this show at this time. That's interesting. It is. Last Rock and Roll Friday of the year. Ooh, horrible. I mean, the show will be on next week, but whoever's filling in, are they going to do Rock and Roll Friday? I hope so. Do they do it when I'm not here? I don't know. But this is the thing. What have you ever wanted to say on radio but didn't have the nerve or couldn't get through. What have you been wanting to say to me or to my audience all year, but you finally can get through tonight, but you can't get through tonight? The lines is completely sold out. I told you, I have the best stethoscope in the United States of America with regard to America's pulse, which is why I've been rewarded with the biggest stations in the country in prime drive time. Because, you know, my intuition is the best, and I knew this would work. Normally people say, oh, it's a dead night, no one will call, no one's listening. Oh, they're listening. They're listening. A show this size, they're always listening. But the question is, what do people want to say? They're all pent up. John on WABC, what's on your mind? Fire away.
Yeah, basically a wish for next year. I'd like to see you and Piers Morgan, Lincoln Douglas-style debate for 1 hour.
I wouldn't waste my time in the same room with that slimy limey. I'm liable to get a disease breathing the same air. Thanks for the thoughts. Mike on KSFO, you're next up. Fire.
Mike, glad to talk to you. What I would say is that I really do want to have a third party. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but the tape, which...
Okay, here's the problem with a third party. It will absolutely destroy any chance of defeating the Democrats. It's a given fact. Of course we'd all like an honest third party that has a chance to win. I even talked about a nationalist party. I did so many times I wrote about it. But if you analyze what happened when Ross Perot came along in the early 90s with his idea for a third party, all he did was suck votes away from the Republicans and elect Bill Clinton. That's why he ran, by the way. And he was, set up to do that so he could be rewarded with more Democrat government contracts. Thanks for the call. That's why I oppose a third party. No, I think the answer is a strong, truly conservative plank inside the Republican Party. It can be done. Mike on RKO in Boston. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Doc, God love you. Great show. Just wanted to say to you, you had talked about recently, folks were talking about your show you did after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, a moment from that show really struck a chord with me when you had said about your son that you wanted to make sure that you had left some good memories of his father.
Yes.
I mean, that really hit home.
Oh, you mean that's why I went? Because I'm not really a sports fan. I went for him. That's really interesting. I'm trying to tell people that's the reason children change your life for the better.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is Rock All Friday, Savage Nation. You'll never know. Isn't it wonderful that I'm the only host on a conservative side not hawking a book? That every other word is peddling you a book? It's actually refreshing. I'm glad I don't have to sell you a book right now. It's a pleasure to be able to do a show. I have advertisers. They're the ones you're supposed to pay attention to. You know, the last caller before the break said something. He said, when you went to New Orleans, you did the show, and then you said something. He remembered this a year now, that you said you went there to leave your son good memories of you. And he said that was very touching to him. I said, wow, that's pretty amazing that you remember that. Because I didn't want to go. I'm not a sports fan. I don't like traveling. I don't like sports. But I enjoyed myself, despite myself, and got a lot out of it. But, you know, talk about a father walking ahead of the son. When my son was a little boy, I dedicated one of my children's books to him. And I said to Russ, who both follows and leads the way. I thought that was a very, very important dedication, basically to my son, who both follows and leads the way. Because in the beginning they follow, and eventually they should lead us. That's the whole object of the transition of generations. That's what it's all about. Last night, after the show, I was really exhausted. I went home, was watching TV, and I watched the Mormon Tabernacle Choir from 2006. It was one of the most stirring Christmas shows I've ever seen in my life. It was so beautiful. I wished I could have been there. I don't know who the woman was. She was singing, and she was sort of an opera singer, and the choir was so wonderful. But the story was that of a king who was leading a peasant boy or a beggar boy through the snow. And the boy couldn't follow him. His feet were sticking in the snow, and he was freezing. And they were singing about how the feet got cold, the boy's feet got cold. And the king turned around and said to him, "Step in my footsteps, son." and your feet will be warm. And the boy stepped in his footsteps instead of into the raw, cold snow. And soon his feet warmed and his whole body warmed. I said, what a beautiful piece of poetry that is. Of course, that's God leading man. We're supposed to follow in God's footsteps. And that's Father leading Son, supposed to lead Son in his footsteps. I thought that was beautiful. And then you look around our country today, the hollowed-out, degenerate nation that we are, the dying plant, with the horrible, sinful nation we're living in, and this hullabaloo over the Duck Dynasty thing is a, to me, it's a flashpoint of where this country's going to go. It's going to go so hard right so fast no one is going to know what hit them. See, one thing about the degenerates of Hollywood, they can smell money. One thing about these sick creatures in Hollywood, they can smell money. They have a nose for money like you can't believe. And they have seen, they've seen what this country has had enough of. And they know where they want to go with this country. They want to know where the media is going. I'll tell you where it's going, hard right. Now, it's nothing new to you, my audience, for me to launch into a reading from the Bible once in a while. I haven't done it in a while. But I'm going to read you something from Isaiah, as you call. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask you if you think it describes a nation you know. Oh, sinful nation, wrote Isaiah, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have condemned the Holy One of Israel. They are turned away backward. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and festering sores. Your country is desolate. Listen to this line. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. It's shocking. Our nation is being devoured by strangers right now. Strange to our customs, strange to our language, strange to our ways. And who is Nancy Pelosi pushing? The strangers who were devouring us. Who is Obama pushing tonight during his press conference? The strangers who are devouring us. And what Isaiah was saying is the land is desolate, as though it had been overthrown by floods. He wasn't saying it had been overthrown by floods. He was saying because the soul had gone out of ancient Israel, due to the behavior of the people, it had become desolate. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And then he says, except that the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Well, we are now Sodom and Gomorrah. But are we now Sodom and Gomorrah? The media is Sodom and Gomorrah. The government is Sodom and Gomorrah. But the people are not in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people are nowhere near Sodom and Gomorrah. The people are still following God's words. Then Isaiah goes on and says, how is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. And I'm going to stop right there. I don't want to overdo it. It's all about timing. How much can I read of this? I could read pretty much more of this if I really wanted to. And I'm in the mood soon to read more of it. I love Isaiah. I've always loved Isaiah. It's amazing. You ever read Isaiah 13? Set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain. An ensign upon the high mountain. What poetry in this. An ensign upon the high mountain. That's beautiful. That's beautiful writing. Do you know how many famous English novels have titles that came from the Bible? Can you name five? Can you name five popular novels of the last century, certainly not of this century, that came from the Bible? I can name one popular novel of this century that came from the Bible because my title to my last novel, A Time for War, came from the Bible. When I was stumped for a title for the second in the Jack Hatfield series, I said, Michael, if it was good enough for Hemingway, if it was good enough, if the Bible was good enough for Hemingway for a title, if the Bible was good enough for John Steinbeck for a title, why don't you look into the Bible? And lo and behold, it was A Time for War. So the Bible can be a source of inspiration for us in many ways, whether you take it as the Word of God or words of wisdom. Now I'll take your calls and see what words of wisdom are out there for us on the Savage Nation. Again, the show is a different one than we've had all year. It's your one chance for an unscreened call. What have you wanted to say on radio all year long but couldn't? Here's your one chance. Only rule, no cursing, no death wishes. 800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation. Boy, what great callers. KOA Denver. Carol on KOA in Denver. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I wanted to tell you that Abraham never set foot in a synagogue. He never went to a church. And yet he was called a friend of God because of his faith. And I implore you, and I send you this message, that just put your faith in God and just trust and know that everything is going to be okay, because it is He who is in charge of everything.
I agree with you. I have had very dark moments in my life. I've walked through the valley, and I'll tell you this. If I look back over my life, over the years and days I've spent worrying, most of them were a waste of time. The worry brought me nothing. The worry brought me nothing. Thinking, yes. Worrying, what does it change? Tell me what worrying changes. Does it change anything for the better? No. So feeling bad, does it change anything? Do you think someone's going to say, oh, look, poor boy is feeling bad. Let's give him what he wants. It doesn't work that way. No one cares if you feel bad. The only one who suffers from feeling bad is you. So therefore, stop feeling bad immediately. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
It's all in God's hands at the end of the day. I have to look back and say, as Blake wrote, and then Huxley translated for all of us when he wrote, life must be lived forward, but can only be understood backward. That as I look backward over my life, I would say that every step of the way, there was a hand guiding my feet. So in that regard, I think I found my faith all over again tonight. It's come back to me. Why? I don't know. How it works? I don't know. It's just come back into my being. For a while, I was wandering around. I didn't believe in anything again, but I feel it all over again. I think 2014 is going to be a wonderful year for America. I think some shocks are going to hit us like you can't believe. There are going to be political shocks that you could never believe. Unexpected things are going to happen to some of the most evil people who have taken this wonderful nation of ours and taken it off a cliff. Some horrible things are going to occur that we can't even predict. We can't. I don't believe God wants to see America disappear from the planet as these phenomenal leftist socialists are trying to do on a daily basis. Shall I list the things they have done and they want to do? I'm not going to do it again. I've written the books. Tonight's a night for talking. Tonight is a night for talking. K-U-G-N, Eugene, in Springfield, Oregon. Jason, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Hey, how's it going?
Go ahead, make your point.
Quick statement. Number one, I love my children enough. I've been a dad for 9 years and a father for 18. That there is no way I am going to pass on to my children a country that is in worse state than the one I received.
But what are you going to do to change it?
I am actually in college. I'm a 42-year-old junior at the University of Oregon studying political science. I am going to start doing things like, well, there's two things that I think are really important. Number one, I think that we should get together and we should sue Obama for breach of contract as citizens of this country.
Yes, but you can't sue him for breach of contract. You cannot bring such a lawsuit. You would have to get a real movement going in Congress on a real issue of crimes and misdemeanors. You have to find the crime and the misdemeanor.
Well, the problem is it's the executive branch's job to enforce the laws, and they are not doing so.
Well, Nancy Pelosi boasted yesterday or the other day that there's no need to interpret law anymore, to hold up the law anymore at all with regard to illegal aliens. She said we shouldn't uphold the law at all. She wants them all granted amnesty. She broke the law. She's a lawbreaker. What happened as a result? Nothing. Nothing. They're speaking with impunity. They own the country. They own the country. We're nothing but peasants to them. Do you understand? We're the unwashed masses, the peasants without any power. They speak as though we don't exist. We don't exist to the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. They go to their big parties on Pacific Heights with the worst people in America. the lowest of humanity are at that party, and they look down upon you as though you don't even exist, and you are the people. You are the backs upon which the entire nation is built. So, what are you going to do about it? I think that celestial events are going to occur and change things that we can't even expect. I'll make that prediction right now. Write it down. Things are going to happen on a political level that will be like an earthquake that we'll never believe happened. What they will be, you can only figure out yourself. But things are going to happen that are going to shock the world and change America for the better and save us at the last minute, like in a great novel. This country will be saved at the last minute by unexpected consequences of the activities of these anti-American leaders that we have. There's no other way to put it. I listened to Obama speak today, and I got to tell you, I was impressed with how slick he is. This guy is the coolest liar I've ever seen in my life. He gets up there and speaks with such aplomb about breaking the law in a way I can't imagine. Oh, we're going to have immigration reform. Huh? We got it through the Senate, and it's blocked up in the House, but I think we can all come together on it. What, are you kidding me? Everybody opposes amnesty for illegals but you and the elitists who want more free labor. I'm supposed to listen to Mark Zuckerface, who hasn't paid taxes in 2 years on billions of dollars in revenue. He should be in jail for tax evasion. Now you understand why Zuckerface, Mr. Undershirt, runs around screaming for amnesty for illegals. You think he cares a whit about illegal aliens? He's speaking because he's a paid spokesmouth for the president. And they want cheap labor in Silicon Valley. What a disgrace. If I were in charge, I'd arrest them for tax evasion. That's what I would do. How could Facebook not pay any taxes for 2 years? How could Google get away with it? General Electric, Microsoft, how can they get away without paying taxes? We all know they're not paying taxes. Where are the Republicans on this? Answer. Huh. Answer. They spread the money around on both sides of the aisle. Yep. So now, today's press conference by the president was very amazing. I don't know if we have the one. We have so many good things. He has a revolt going on over Iran and the sanctions. There's a major league revolt going on in his own party, irrespective of what your useless newspaper is saying. There's a major league rebellion going on from the top ranks of the liberal Democrat power structure. They have turned on him. They have said, no, you don't dare do it. We're going to stop you from this. You're not giving Iran the opportunity to build a nuclear weapon. I listened to Obama. I couldn't believe how good he is at lying. This man can really spin a web. Now, if you're an individual who doesn't understand what he's saying, it's easy to listen to him and believe he's right. He said, well, you know, he said, look, the reason we have to give Iran a chance to not develop a nuclear bomb is because if we don't do it, well, the consequences might be terrible. He said, so let's see if they actually build a nuclear weapon before we stop them from building a nuclear weapon. I said, I couldn't believe what he was saying. That is like saying, let Nazi Germany build a heavy water plant in Finland, or Norway, rather, and then we'll see if they actually use the nuclear weapon on New York City. It makes no sense. Now, that's why this party of his is cracking. They've had enough of him. And I believe that we could actually see his own party move to impeach him because they recognize the danger that their party is in, number one, which covers their back, and number two, the danger he's put the nation in and the world with his mad, crazy leftist policies. There could be impeachment hearings coming from some of the Democrats themselves over this Iran thing. Then we have Harry Reid hospitalized. Oh, let's wish him well. Let's pray for Harry Reid. Let's pray that the ailing 74-year-old recovers rapidly. He's in the hospital. He will not be presiding over the Senate's final day of business this year. Let's all pray for Harry Reid. He's done such wonderful things for America. Lance on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Doctor, you recommended that we make a request from one of your books. I have here The Enemy Within, starting on page 2 on the subject of universal health care. Perhaps you could. Do you have a copy there?
Oh, wow. Wait. The Enemy Within. Hold on. You're one of the loyalists who actually has... Here we go. It's an old book. 2000 and what?
2003, 10 years old, you're very...
Oh, and I knew something about health care before all of the conservatives in the media knew about. Let's see, what page?
Yeah, page 52, Doctor. You're just...
52, health care, who poisoned the system. My goodness, I couldn't have written that in 2002 and published it in 03. I'm not one of the members of the cabal, the conservative cabal that the Pope decides who is right and who is wrong. I'll come back and read it to the audience. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Listen, I had a caller who mentioned my book from 2003, The Enemy Within, to show you who really is the progenitor of all the ideas that others are taking credit for. And he said, Michael, you should read what you wrote about the healthcare system. Who poisoned the system back in 2002. Everyone's ripped you off. I'll read you one paragraph before this hour comes to an end. Universal health care is a carrion call for the bottom feeders out there who think I owe them a living. They think I owe them health care, housing, a car, a chicken in every pot, and pot for every chicken. What gives them the right to reach into my pocket for a handout? I owe you nothing. I don't owe you housing. I don't owe you a job. And I don't owe you health care. That is what Marxists have promised from the beginning of the Bolshevik Revolution. That's it. Very short and sweet. Then I wrote, sure, I might see a needy guy struggling to make it and choose to help him, but that's my decision. And these are the facts. While there was universal health care in Russia, it was a poor system for the average Soviet citizen. While there was universal housing in Russia, it was substandard, often without heat. You get it? The entire conservative machine ripped off old Doc Savage. But guess who wins? Me. I didn't need them. They need me. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I love my audience. I got to tell you, I was in the dumps tonight till I got on the air. Just really rough time of year. Rough time of year. Everyone wants to be happier than they are, and they don't know why, and they look around. It's like jingle bells, courier knives. Why am I missing out? Where's life, you know, passed me by? What's wrong? And then I get on the air, and I swear to God, my mood just goes right up to heaven. Because you really are my family. I mean, I have a family. Thank God they have me. For better or for worse, they have me anyway. But my radio family is the biggest thing in my life. I have to tell you, I know you don't want to hear it and you shouldn't say it, but of course my natural family is more important to me. I'm not saying that. But outside of them, you are it. When we talk and I hear conversation of the kind we're having tonight, I come alive. What can I say? I said, you know, I said this from the beginning when I entered radio. I'll never forget it. First week, I said 21 hours a day, I crawl like every other human being on the planet. I crawl because at the end of the day, we're just earthlings. We're earth beings. We can rarely soar. And I said for 3 hours a day, I transcend the zoological order and I become something universal. Something else altogether, and that's an art form. The painter feels the same thing. The musician should feel the same thing. What do you think motivates a person to study an instrument for so many years? You think they do it because they have to do it? They do it because they get such a high off it when they do it right. They transcend their body. They transcend the zoological order. That's what radio should be. Otherwise, it's too prosaic. The word is prosaic otherwise. Too prosaic. So anyway, thanks for helping me soar. In the first hour, I invited anyone to call, but I'm sorry I can't do it again. I'll say it again because I never saw anything like this, but I knew it would happen. What have you wanted to say on radio all year but couldn't? And I said, here's your one chance, unscreened, uncensored calls. Only rules, no curse words, no death wishes. 800-449-8255, but we are sold out. I don't even think we have one open line. When we do, I'll let you know. I'm going to take some calls. Monica on WABC, fire away, unscreened on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I felt God when you spoke tonight. I felt God let you live your life with all your ups and downs and your terrific, well-faceted mind, my God. He's with you. I believe when you mentioned Isaiah, you are absolutely inspired. And when you said, pray, well, he's a saint. Isaiah is a saint. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer, was said by St. Padre Pio. And my real reason for calling, well, you just knocked my socks off. I mean, I felt God speaking. You were meant for this time. You are getting
wow. Well, you know, when I said, what has worry ever gotten me? The answer is nothing. Thought, yes. Worry, no. And when I said that, I was thinking through my own life, what has worry gotten me? Nothing. Everything I've ever worried about never happened. It almost never happened. All my fears and worries have never come to anything. So what good is it going forward? If I could just stop it for one day, it would be a miracle for me. What is the point of worrying? Thinking, yes. Think. It's the only salvation. But worry, what's the point? What, it changes nothing. Are you saying that that was stated by an ancient religious figure?
St. Padre Pio of Pietrelcina in Italy. He had the stigmata. And he said, he's a saint, just declared a saint. And he said, always said, and his prayer follows me every second. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer. And I feel you are meant to be for this time. You were born and lived as you lived for reasons for now. And God is giving you this station, this new.
I agree. I believe you're correct because by all odds, I shouldn't be on the air and I shouldn't be alive. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but I'm telling you that I know that to be those two things to be a fact. What I just said to you, it's an act of just a divine act that I'm sitting here at all speaking with you. But I make a prediction that 2014 is going to be a year of shocks for America and the world that none of us can predict. And like a good novel, America will be saved at the last minute from the evildoers who have taken it over. This pack of thieves will have their day. I'm telling you, we will have our day before God. These thieves will be stopped in the most unexpected ways. Things are going to come down so fast they won't know what hit them. I think we're beginning to see the edifice crumbling around them that the lies caught up to them. But very soon, the earthquake is going to hit them for what they're doing to this country. And it's not going to come from me. What am I? I'm one man. I'm just one man. One man. That's all I am. What's one man? Very little. And yet one man can do so much harm to this country. One man can do so much harm to this nation. You give a captain the wheel of a ship, he can drive you onto the ice. You know that. Would you think that a giant ship the size of the Titanic could have been driven onto ice? Well, it was. One captain. One captain can take a ship onto the ice. Yes, we give an enormous set of keys to whoever we give the presidency. And my God, what we've done to ourselves this time, how we've been deceived. But a speaker like him, he is the smoothest I have ever seen in my life. The man was flawless tonight. I could not believe what I was watching. Silk smooth, confident, assured, positive he can continue to pull the wool over the eyes of the world. No matter what anyone says to him, no matter the fact that his coalition is cracking underneath him with regard to trying to sell Israel out to the Islamist wolves, kept going on. No matter how the American people say no, no more of your radical leftist agenda, no more. You've done enough harm. Again, he goes on with the silk tongue. We will get immigration reform done. I couldn't believe he was saying things like this, given his catastrophically low poll numbers, the collapse of his leftist coalition over the Iran sanctions issue. I couldn't believe he would keep pushing forward and pounding the drumbeat. But push forward he did, and pound the drum he did. I've got to find one more soundbite from the president's press conference today. But guys, play any one of them just to hear his silken voice.
Now, if just Iran comes back and says, we can't give you assurances that we're not going to weaponize, if they're not willing to address some of their capabilities that we know could end up resulting in them having breakout capacity, it's not going to be hard for us to turn the dials back, strengthen sanctions even further. I'll work with members of Congress to put even more pressure on Iran. But there's no reason to do it right now.
What do you mean there's no reason to do it right now? Now is the time to do it. Listen to clip 12. Listen to this.
Now, I've been very clear from the start. I mean what I say. It is my goal to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. But I sure would rather do it diplomatically. I'm keeping all options on the table. But if I can do it diplomatically, that's how we should do it.
Well, hold on. I would think that would be the face of it. Hold it. On the face of it, that sounds reasonable. Everyone would agree he's right. Of course, if we can do it diplomatically, we all want him to do it diplomatically. Nobody would disagree with that. But you can't do it diplomatically with a fascist nation like Iran. What have we learned so far? They're a fascist theocracy. They've only responded because the sanctions were crippling them. The people were ready to riot against the mullahs who have hijacked the great Persian people. And now he's saying we'll release the sanctions all of a sudden and they're going to come around to us. Are you kidding me? It's insanity. And he doesn't mean a word he's saying. But it's easy to be beguiled by him. If you listen to him, very easy to be beguiled by him. That's what I thought. The other day there was a soundbite you have to hear. Well, I don't want to distract you. You know, it's an open mic to mic thing, and the show will soon be over, and I'll be back into the void of darkness of no audience, facing no audience for a while. I'm already getting the shakes at the thought of it. I already made a decision 10 minutes ago before the break that although I'm supposed to be off until New Year's Eve, I'm probably going to go out of state, but I'm going to go to a place where there's a studio very close to me. And should there be breaking news of any kind, I'm going to step back before the microphone because I can't stay. I can't stay away from this. It keeps me going. It animates me. All right, time for you to talk, me to listen. Robert on WMAL, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. I was listening to a local morning show on WMAL this morning, and he brought you up during his show and told his audience about what had happened to you in Great Britain. And I thought that was very important because, as you know, a lot of people, they're not standing up for you. So in a way, I thought that was very important for him to stand up.
Yes, there are local hosts who have more integrity than the so-called national leadership, whether it be in politics or in radio. Correct. Was his name Ben?
Well, his name is Chris Plant. P-L.
Oh, good for him. No, Chris is a good guy. Chris is an honorable man, and I appreciate you telling me about that. Thank you. He has great integrity for doing so. I would say that Michael Savage being banned in Britain since 2009 is a bigger story than a bunch of crackers, you know what I'm saying? But okay. Any way you want to do it. Any which way to Sunday. WABC, Philip, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, allow me three thoughts. In the new year, from my perspective, the hard-hitting language is critical, that you keep that up, the hard-hitting language, because everyone understands that, and that's no holds barred.
Right. I agree with you. Language is king.
That's right. I agree 100%. Number two, I'd love to see God lend us Isaiah. I have two jobs in mind for him, John Roberts' job or chief advisor to the Pope. I think those two roles would fit Isaiah very key right now. And
wow.
On the last note, in impeachment, I believe that the biggest felony, high crime and misdemeanor, is it would take some investigating. We have no Justice Department because of Eric Holder, so it would have to be up to a Congress to tie perjury in his oath to uphold the Constitution. You would need to show the conspiracy of the money in things like Solyndra and his wife's friend getting a contract to set up a website that doesn't work at exorbitant funds.
You're right. The wife's friend getting the $700 million, $800 million contract to set up a fraud website that doesn't work unto itself could bring down a presidency if we had a legitimate media. Absolutely 100% right.
And my,
that is correct. That's 100% right. That alone should bring about an impeachment hearing.
Thank you. My last point on the impeachment, an investigation into the conspiratorial relationship between him, Soros, and Podesta and Acorn to bring down the Constitution that he...
That's right. Why is Podesta suddenly brought out of the darkness and out of the shadows? Where is? Why is he needed? Who elected that man? What is he famous for? What is he being brought in for? What is he trying to do? He's trying to hoodwink and bamboozle everyone into accepting amnesty for illegal aliens. That is primary. That's his primary role.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, noon, right here on Hot Dog 560 KSFO.
I was brought up.
No knowledge of God in the land. Now we're going to turn to Hosea for a minute. Yeah, what's the Bible? I'll read a little bit more in case you don't like it. I'll make you dislike it even more. How could these ancients have foreseen what would happen to America because of the degeneracy and the turning away from God? And the sewer pipe of Hollywood is certainly a part of that sickness that I am talking about on a daily basis on this show. What did he write? Swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all bounds and blood touches blood. Therefore does the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein doth languish, with the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea are also taken away. So you read over and over again, what's it about? It's about sin. And you could laugh, you could mock, you could say you're a modern person, what does it mean? The harlotry that has pervaded America today is destroying the heart of the land. The harlotry that is promulgated, promoted, circulated, held up as wholesome by the degenerate sickos in Hollywood is what is destroying and killing the nation on every level. Now, there's a reason that they do this. There's a deep political reason that the powers that be not only look away from this degeneracy, but encourage it from the boys in Hollywood. The sewer pipe in Hollywood, after all, could be stopped in 1 second by an administration. They've done it before. You say, oh, censorship? I didn't say censorship. There are other things that could be done to stop the vile filth that is permeating from Hollywood and poisoning the minds of our children, poisoning the minds of every man and every woman in this country on a daily basis. The poison is everywhere, and it could be stopped. But there's a reason that the corrupt power structure does not stop that sewer pipe. The sewer pipe distracts and entertains. And in distracting and entertaining the masses, they can then go and do anything they wish, as they are doing. They can get away with virtual murder. They can murder a nation. They can murder a nation's leader. They can do anything they want to anybody because you are busy. You are busy swimming in the sewer pipe of Hollywood. And so as I say, I'm telling you as I stand here tonight, maybe this is the last show of the night, the last show of all time. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Take my words to heart. The thing that must be done to save America is to rein in Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg. They have killed the world. I don't give a damn if he floats around in a 400-foot yacht. It means nothing to me. He is an evil Caesar.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Attention, the rumors are true. The Savage Nation is moving. Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, noon, right here on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
At the end of the day.
It's the Savage Nation. It is the Savage Nation. Hopefully one day this will be a Savage Nation once again. It will restore the military. We'll bring back the generals that Obama has purged like Stalin. We'll bring back the ships and the planes and the armaments and the weaponry that will make us a great nation again. We'll cleanse the nation of the pollution that is permeating every avenue, every ville, every building, every state house, every federal house. Yes, I have a dream and I have a prayer. President, they say, had a very bad year. Six reasons 2013 was bad for him. It's not about him. What do you mean it was bad for him? CNN, six reasons 2013 was bad for him, the imperial him. Who cares about him? Who made him the thing? He is the steward of the great nation. He built nothing. Zilch, never had a job in his life. Never created a product anybody ever wanted. He said so himself. I'll never forget the speech he gave when he was first made president. He laughed. And in passing, sometimes people say things that you really got to catch. And he said, what are we bureaucrats? He said, we've never created a product that anybody ever wanted. We've never done anything with shuffle papers. Now it's all about him. Six reasons 2013 was bad for him, the imperial him. Amazing, huh? Amazing. No, it's not about him. It's about the reasons that the year was bad for we the people. Let's go to the callers. It's open mic to Mike in a strange way, what you've wanted to say on radio all year. Tonight is your one chance. There's one open line at 855-407-282. You better grab it because someone will grab it. Someone will grab it. Somebody will grab it. Now I'm going to grab a call on KKOH. I believe that's out of Reno. Anthony, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I could talk to you for hours, but I know you're only going to give me half a minute, so I'll get right to it. You said about a year ago, almost to the day that Obama pushed for that new deal with John Kerry and Iran, that he was going to do something that would be his own demise, and I believe that what you said is almost exactly what's going to happen. That is going to be the demise of this president. I think that's a big enough thing along with all the other smaller...
Well, when I see Schumer, who is as loyal to this regime as anyone could ever be, the number one lieutenant of Obama would have to be someone along the lines of Harry Reid. Right next to him would have to be Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, and Charles Schumer. They're in the inner circle of power. He turned on Obama over this Iran deal, and he's not the only one. A whole coalition. What's amazing to me is that Obama got up there and continued to lie today, saying, talking again about, oh, the fractured Congress, nothing's getting done. The people want us to get things done. I kept like saying, what are you talking about? Congress has finally come together and saw through you. Democrat and Republican alike said enough is enough with this crazy man. We're not going to let him shaft Israel and the Western world by giving Iran the right to weaponize a nuclear weapon.
Yes, you nailed it.
You know that after Kerry came back, that slick liar, Kerry, who, by the way, should be impeached for what he did, he came back and lied and said, oh, we got the deal of the century. We're going to let Iran do this. We got him under control, but we're going to release the sanctions and let him have $60 billion just when they're about to crumble from the sanctions. He's going to let them have $60 billion so they can build their weaponry at an even more at an even quicker pace. The Iranians laughed, and they said, oh, wow, this is great. We can now enrich uranium. Kerry said, oh, no, they can't enrich uranium. The next day, the mullahs said, oh, yes, we can. They're giving us the right to enrich uranium. Now Obama gets up there and says, oh, well, we got to give them a chance. Let's see if they don't enrich uranium and build a weapon. Have you ever heard anything as crazy as this?
Nailed it. Like just about everything else you say, you nailed it right on the head. And I just want to say God bless.
So you feel that this thing, this granting Iran the right to destroy Israel and then become a player that could destroy Saudi Arabia and parts of Europe is going to be the last straw for him? The madness will finally stop. The Mad King Ludwig finally gets it.
Yes, and I don't know if you read this, but I read it today. But Israel is looking for a new partner in Russia. So there you go.
I thought that was pretty amazing. I thought that was astonishing that we've pushed Israel into Russia's sphere of influence.
Unbelievable. God bless.
But how could a president get up with such aplomb today and such a silk, smooth delivery, like a nightclub performer, and smooth, and we're going to go away with the family, and what a wonderful time. His support is at the lowest level of his presidency, a drop of 14 percentage points since January, down to 41%, according to CNN. And he gets up there, and he gives the speech like he's still Mr. Loved, like he's still President Love. Doesn't anybody get to talk to him, or is he surrounded by the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who shield him from reality? By the way, there was one reporter who I have to say I admire. I think it was Ed Henry of Fox News who took him on. I was shocked, and Obama didn't know what to do. He had to cut off the report. Was it Ed Henry or not? I watched this guy. I said, who is this guy? You know, I saw this going on. I'm going to play it for you in a minute at the press conference. Obama gave a surprise press conference today before dashing off to surfing in Hawaii. And all of a sudden, one reporter from Fox News, I didn't know who it was, Ed Henry, started to hammer him and hammer him and hammer him. And Obama was on the ropes. He didn't know what to do. And I looked at the other reporters looking over at Ed Henry. And you know what they looked like? Did you ever see the kid who's outspoken in a classroom and starts to challenge the teacher? And the other cowardly students look over with an embarrassed look for the person talking, like, ooh, look what he's doing. And they try to move away. You can see body language. Oh, they move away like they have nothing to do with a real reporter. The worthless garbage wearing the badges sitting in there, the useless idiots. They moved away from him. They became embarrassed because someone stood up to the imposter. Listen to Ed Henry now on the Savage Nation.
When Edward Snowden first started leaking the information, you made a statement on June 7th in California, and you claimed to the American people that you had already reformed many of these surveillance programs. That was only 6 months ago. Yeah. Now this judge is saying no, your own panel is saying no, even you're saying no. Were you wrong then because you were not fully read in, not just on these programs, but on other programs, that just like on healthcare, you like your plan, you can keep it. On surveillance, you looked the American people in the eye 6 months ago and said, we've got the right balance. And 6 months later, you're saying, maybe not.
Now, so Obama then comes back in clip seven. Listen.
Well, hold on a second, Ed. I think it's important to note that when it comes to the right balance on surveillance, these are a series of judgment calls that we're making every single day because we've got a whole bunch of folks whose job it is
now, whenever
to make
he goes
sure
to a whole
American
bunch of folks, you know he's really giving you the spin job. Whenever you hear a whole bunch of folks and he goes into that folksy garbage, you know they got him on the ropes. He was doing the rope-a-dopa right there when he goes into the whole bunch of folks. I heard the rope-a-dopa. So there are reporters worthy of the word reporter, journalist, coming up, standing up to this man, holding his feet to the fire, as they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be watchdogs for we the people, not lapdogs for we the people. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We got such great callers. I could go on for 5 hours right now. While most people did a throwaway show today, nothing. Nothing. Worthless. Not even worthy being on radio. Peddling a wig. A floor mat. Unbelievable how embarrassing it is to listen all day long. I try not to. I've been banned from listening to shows before mine. Someone who's very important to me forbade me from listening to anyone who comes on before me. I now listen to Dexter Gordon, Thelonious Monk, and jazz. And it actually makes me feel better because I get agitated listening to the rubbish. I can't take it. I can't take it. It's this way to the egress all day long. This way to the egress. That's all I hear. This way to the egress all day long. By the popes of conservatism, determining who is the real conservative. KSFO, Clifton, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, my brother, I love you, man. I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm going to get to my points quickly. There's three that I'd like to make. First of all, Obamacare, why beat a dead horse? We know that horse is dead, okay? We knew we were in trouble when the Black Caucus went down to Cuba and studied their system down there.
You got that right. Yeah, how'd you like Castro Care in America? That's just what we need.
Mike, you know I hit the nail on the head, my brother. That's exactly what time it is right there. And my second...
Well, maybe they can bring back Cuba's method of selling cars, which they've used for the last 60 years, where you can't sell a car unless the government issues you a permit to sell a car. That's why everyone's driving 1950s cars. You couldn't even import a new car into Cuba. Listen to this. Unless you are a member of the Cuban government, they're the only ones who are allowed to bring cars in. Can you imagine that? Is that where we'll go with Obama next?
Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm living in this time, Mike. My second point. I'm going to be quick, okay?
No, be slow. You're having a good time, and so am I. Go slow. What's on your mind?
You know what I'm saying, Mike? Why are you going to have Christmas presents from Targets under your Christmas tree? Why don't you put the fruits of the Spirit, as spoken of in Galatians, under your Christmas tree. What would that be?
What would a truly spiritual gift be in your mind?
A truly spiritual gift would be, in my mind, is the nine things that are spoken of, or the gifts of the Spirit that's in Galatians, okay? I think it's...
Yes, but how can you give gifts of the Spirit in the physical form under a tree?
Well, it's got to be in your household. It's got to be a spiritual. It's got
to
be...
Yeah, I understand that. I get it. How long have you been listening to my show, Clifton, on KSFO? Recent, long? Clifton. I guess he's not there. I guess he went for one of the spiritual gifts that comes handily in a bottle with a cork on top of it. You certainly can. You can put spiritual gifts under a tree. They come in bottles. come on, you got to have a laugh once in a while, right? Let's go to a man who doesn't believe in what I'm saying at all. It's okay. We don't have to get mad at each other. Marlon on WABC, go ahead, please. You're on the Saturday.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's on your mind?
I'm just surprised a guy of your education believes in God. I mean, you know... It's a proven fact. Evolution, there's no God. Come on.
Well, okay, let me answer that. Would you think that Einstein, would you say Einstein was a brilliant man?
Yep.
Would you believe that Einstein believed in God or not?
I don't know if he did, but if he did, then he's flawed.
Well, he did, and he said that the longer he studied the outer limits of the universe, the more he was convinced there was a creator. He wrote that. I didn't write it. I was shocked because the popular notion of Einstein is that of the crazy hair, the tongue out. You know the poster that the libs put out so the youngsters would think he was a pothead moron. So look, let me say this. Marlon, it's a big world with 5 billion people in it or so. I don't really have anything invested in whether you or anyone else believes in anything. It doesn't matter to me. All that matters is what I'm saying matters to me. And that's about it. I mean, I'm not telling you to follow me or follow my way or believe in Isaiah. I didn't say that.
I understand. I'm just surprised the guy with your education, you know, believes in...
Well, it's easy to become a cynic when you're overly educated. It's easy to become quite cynical. And I got to tell you this. You want to talk about that? Evolution, great topic. I could talk about it for hours. When I was a young biology student, undergrad student, Queens College, I'll never forget bringing home... A disarticulated skeleton of various animals, including the bird. And I remember taking the box of bones home. You know, I was studying anatomy, right? And I would look at the bird's wing, the bones of the bird's wing. And I remember articulating the bones, and I'd say, oh, my God, look at this. God, there's the bone of my upper arm in the bird. There's the bones of my forearm in the bird. The fingers are on the tips of the wings, and I said, look how similar we are. Isn't that amazing? So I've had wonder about evolution. I certainly believe that we can believe in evolution and in God at the same time. I do not think that they're mutually exclusive. In fact, the longer I've studied it, the more I'm convinced that it's one and the same.
I just don't see it. But
well, let me ask you this, Marlon. When you die, whenever that may be, what do you think awaits you?
Just go on the ground. That's it. It's over.
I get it. Let me tell you something. I was raised by a father who had the same exact feelings. My father was an atheist. People may say, oh, he was not a religious man. He was a realist. He came from Russia. He had the stuffing kicked out of him a lot of times, and he got up dusted himself off and kept moving along. He didn't believe in anything. He thought the world was a cruel, hard, mean place. And he taught me one thing and one thing only. Learn how to survive, or whatever you believe in will be worth nothing.
Sounds like pretty good advice.
All right, so this is, you must come from that school of thinking. Survival is your reason to live. Survival is your God in that sense. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct. I mean, my wife's Catholic. She brought the kids up. I just grin and bear it. I just don't see it.
So you're taking out on me what you'd like to say to her tonight.
I buy it. Present.
You're having this argument with me while you're still in the car where it's safe. I get it. Well, that's good. That's good. Have that argument with me. I love it. Thank you for the call. That's beautiful. Let me be the whipping boy for all of the non-believers out there before they go home and face the music of the believing wife. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Teddy, stop. Teddy. That's my show dog, little Teddy the Poodle. He did a performance just for this show. His agent I'll tell you this, though. His agent is asking so much for him to perform in 2014. He may not be back on the air with me. I'm joking. The guys put that together for me from his different barks over the years on the radio, and they made it into the Jingle Bells. They insisted we play it tonight. It is the one and only Savage Nation. It's the last, amazing, last show of the year, really, tonight. Until, I said I'd be back New Year's Eve. I'm supposed to not come back till January, but I can't stay away that long. And I don't want to go anywhere New Year's Eve. I don't want to sit in a restaurant. I don't want to blow a thing in my mouth or a hat. What do I need it for? What, I never had a drink before? I'm going to, hey, New Year's Eve. So instead of having nothing to do or doing something I don't want to do, I'm going to go, I figure I'll go on the radio, have a party on the air like tonight. That's what I'm looking forward to. And while Mr. Obama is going to be enjoying the surf and sand of Hawaii, I may be enjoying the surf and sand of another tropical area. But if there's any breaking news next week, my wonderful fill-in will probably permit me to come back on my show and be here with you if that's required. I'm not set in stone like, oh, glad to be off the air, can't wait. No, I'm not glad to be off the air. It's a horrible, it's like a void. There's nothing out there. This has become, oh, Rachel, KBET Las Vegas, go ahead. You got the floor in the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Savage. I just want to say that I listen to you every day, and because you're exactly like my father, Roy Swanson. I mean, you guys, if you met, you'd be best friends, I swear. But he lives in Stuttgart, Germany now. My mom and dad work for the military. And actually, he called you back in Portugal when he lived there in 2010, and you guys talked about the government and the government we deserve as Americans.
Don't mention his name, because this mean administration is liable to do him some disservice. But I thank you for coming from such a wonderful military family, and I'm glad that I could be a surrogate dad for you on the radio.
I listen.
A surrogate dad. That's a great word. We don't even use the words anymore. Surrogate father. We hear the word surrogate with regard to birth, but when have you last heard the word surrogate father? I'm your surrogate father. I'm your surrogate uncle. I'm your surrogate brother. I'm your surrogate lover. I'm your surrogate surrogate. I'm your Cirrus surrogate. I'm your surrogate Cirrus.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, you made it to hour number three this Friday night, December 20th, 2013. Let's go to michaelsavage.com, home of the Borders, Language, and Culture website. Savage moving to drive time, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, 12 to 3 p.m. Western. Mark the date, January 1st. Here are the topics. A new poll says Chris Christie tops potential 2016 GOP presidential field in Mississippi. That's interesting. Holiday traditions are on attack right now. Apparently the leftists are going after us on holiday traditions. I think they will soon ban snow because it doesn't support global warming. New study says aspirin risks may outweigh benefits in healthy adults. Oh, which way do they want it? What's aspirin keeping too many people alive and keeping them off drugs? Liars. Don't believe a word of it. We all know aspirin might cause slight bleeding. We all know that. There's a risk-benefit to everything. You want to hear some bad Christmas news? A judge has struck down Utah's same-sex marriage ban, overriding the voters. A rotten, stinking federal judge who's nothing but a filthy lawyer with a black robe has said drop dead to all of the people in Utah. And now you have to take same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage, and love it. What happened to America? How could one single, stinking, rotten judge named Robert Shelby overturn the will of the people? How is that possible? How is this possible? How could a thug like this, a thug in a black robe, do this? Why do we take this? I don't understand it. Where is it written in our Constitution that we have to be terrorized by a bunch of stinking, rotten, corrupt lawyers in black robes? Where? Show me where in the Constitution it says that it's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Show me where it says. Show me where it says. Show me where it says that. Show me where it says that we shall be ruled by thugs with law degrees. What a nation of wimps. What a nation of wimps. There's another huge story that came out that a whole bunch of Democrats have turned on Obama over the so-called Iran deal because they understand the Iran deal is killing Israel. And so even diehard leftist senators, you know, I said enough is enough with him. They had enough of him dragging them over the cliff. So they turned on him. A whole group of very powerful senators, including Big Shoe Schumer. Big Shoe Schumer was among those loyal soldiers in the Obama family. In the Obama family imaginable. He was one of those loyal captains to that family. But even this captain turned on the guy, the Pezzo Navante. And he said, no, I'm not going along with you because you're killing Israel. He didn't say it that way, but he isn't. This is a major story. It's a major story. Even they're recognizing this man has no limits to his leftist insanity. This is a huge story. So now you got all these things working against this administration. And where's he going? To Hawaii to go surfing for 17 days. That's how he deals with stress. He disappears. That's all. 855-400-7282. I would suggest that most of the people listening to my show tonight are something's bothering them. That's why they're listening to the radio now. They imagine the rest of the world doesn't feel the way they do. They imagine the rest of the world is happy and they're sad. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. Grab it while you can. It is the last live evening show of the Savage Nation of the year. That is until New Year's Eve when I may or may not come back. I could decide I'm not going to do it live. We'll do a best of. I don't know. Depend upon what happens to me over the vacation. I'm thinking of having a live New Year's Eve party on the air. I mean, next week, look, we got a long way to go till then. And a long way to go till January 1. But I think that people are so pent up, they really want to say things tonight. And the only rules are, you can say what you want, but you can't wish anyone harm, and you can't curse. There's a lot of news out there. I don't want to talk about it, though, because it's not news. You're not, what do you care about it? The biggest story is really the turning of the Democrat Party, the power elite against Obama, except for fanatic diehards like Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer, who are so owned by Obama that they're an embarrassment to themselves and their constituents. Other liberal Democrats join Republicans, cross the aisle, which we hear doesn't happen, to turn on Obama over the so-called Iran sanctions bill. 26 senators, half of them Democrats, defied Obama on Thursday by introducing a bill that would impose new sanctions on Iran, despite urgent pleas from the so-called White House to shelve the legislation. And this is a big deal. These are not marginal senators. These are diehard Democrats introduced by Menendez. Joining them was Charles Schumer. And Schumer is as in the White House pocket as you can ever get. What they want is sanctions on Iran. They want sanctions on Iran. They're not giving Iran an ability to develop a nuclear weapon and wipe Israel off the map. Period, end of story. But Levin of Michigan, Boxer of California, were opposed to this bipartisan meeting, the joining together of Republicans and Democrats. So as you can see, there are diehard fanatics like Levin, Boxer, Feinstein, who no matter what happens, they will carry Obama's water and be an embarrassment to the human race. They actually wrote this. This is what Boxer and Levin signed. We shouldn't pass legislation now that would endanger negotiations that most people and countries want to succeed. Can you believe that Boxer would be this despicable? We know she's a despicable human being. We know she has no humanity in her. We know that Levin is nothing. Just nothing. I'm all over the map, I admit. But it's better than getting stuck with like a broken needle on a record with Obamacare, 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 Obamacare. My coming back to life in radio 20 years ago, my having to fight every day of my radio life through odds that I could never even describe, it would take a big novel to tell people what I had to go through. A two-year lawsuit that was laid upon my doorstep because I wanted to move on in my life, and basically I was imprisoned as though I was in a prison camp. I had to fight my way out of that. It cost me $1 million to get free. And then to wind up here and to be going January onto the biggest stations in America, and they're the best stations. Everyone, I don't care what anyone says or parses it, everybody always wanted to be on the stations I'm going to be on. There's no changing that, because I know what radio is. I remember the days I started. The names of these stations, if you just said WABC, WLS, all you had to do was say those radio signals, everyone's eyes lit up in this field because they knew what they were. Those were the flamethrower stations that everyone wanted to be on. So now, okay, so I'm going to be on them. I'm on ABC right now. But what I'm saying is, in prime time, it's amazing. And it's only getting bigger. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's a rhetorical question. So to me, it's a victory. But is it a victory for those who stood with me all these years listening, knowing the you know, I complain a lot on this show. You know that I do the news. And sometimes I launch into complaints about life, my life, and I make it very personal. And people have known what I've been through, have listened to the show. Well, here it is. It's moving into another phase. Where it will end, nobody knows. I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know where it's going to end. It could be good, bad, or indifferent. I have no idea. I suspect I know where it's going to go. And I'll lay it on the line right now. Right now, I'll tell you exactly what has to happen and what's going to happen. My competitor, Sean Hannity, in drive time, in afternoons, across America, has had this slot all to himself all these years. I was blocked from it in many ways by forces I can't even tell you about on this show right now. But I will tell you this, my competitor, in my opinion, had something to do with it. Okay, we'll let it stand at that. He thought he had me in the mousetrap. The cartel had me in the mousetrap. His ratings have to go down because he's finally going to have real competition. His ratings can't go up. They have to go down. So mine are starting at zero in drive time. My ratings have to go up. So I have to win and he has to lose. It's that simple. I have everything to gain. He has everything to lose. So it's a no-win for him. He can't win in this slot. And so, therefore, it is a victory for me. And you say, well, why are you taking such pleasure? He's a nice guy. He is a nice guy. He does a very fine television show. And he should stay on television. But it's time for him to move on. We need him. It's very important. America needs him as part of the team fighting the forces of atheism, Islamofascism, and pure evil. I agree 100%. But that doesn't mean that I have to be his water carrier anymore. Or I have to sit on the sidelines and look at him like he's a great genius, because he isn't. He's gotten very lucky and gotten away with it for a very long period of time. And by the way, it's catching up with him. Look, I didn't intend to say any of what I just said. This is a conversation on the Savage Nation. There's no script. There are people in this business who have a script given to them every morning by their producers. You ask people, they will tell you. They don't go off the script. They're afraid of it. There's a teleprompter. This is the part that you don't know. Many of these people put down Obama for reading a teleprompter. Well, I'm sorry to puncture the old bubble. Many people that you listen to read scripts from morning till night, hand it to them. 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. This is the thing. What have you ever wanted to say on radio but didn't have the nerve or couldn't get through? What have you been wanting to say to me or to my audience all year, but you finally can get through tonight, but you can't get through tonight? The lines are completely sold out. I told you, I have the best stethoscope in the United States of America with regard to America's pulse, which is why I've been rewarded with the biggest stations in the country in prime drive time. Because, you know, my intuition is the best, and I knew this would work. Normally people say, oh, it's a dead night, no one will call, no one's listening. Oh, they're listening. They're listening. A show this size, they're always listening. But the question is, what do people want to say? They're all pent up. Now I'll take your calls and see what words of wisdom are out there for us on the Savage Nation. Again, it's your one chance for an unscreened call. What have you wanted to say on radio all year long but couldn't? Here's your one chance. Only rule, no cursing, no death wishes. 800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation. Mike on KSFO, you're up, fire.
Mike, glad to talk to you. What I would say is that I really do want to have a third party. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but the
Okay, here's the problem with a third party. It will absolutely destroy any chance of defeating the Democrats. It's a given fact. Of course we'd all like an honest third party that has a chance to win. I even talked about a nationalist party. I did so many times I wrote about it. But if you analyze what happened when Ross Perot came along in the early 90s with his idea for a third party, all he did was suck votes away from the Republicans and elect Bill Clinton. That's why he ran, by the way. And he was, set up to do that so he could be rewarded with more Democrat government contracts, thanks for the call. That's why I oppose a third party. No, I think the answer is a strong, truly conservative plank inside the Republican Party. It can be done. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hello.
855-400-7282. It's open mic to Mike. What have you wanted to say on the radio all year but couldn't? Or you were afraid to, couldn't get through, last show. It's the last show, you know, of the year. So this is your shot. And if you're, lucky enough to get on through the screener, we'll take it. Let's just get uncalled now. It's uncalled. It's uncalled for calls on the Savage Nation. I am so wacky right now. I feel like a fighter in a 15-round heavyweight fight, and I feel like I'm on the ropes after the 15th round. I'm telling you, I used to watch these 15-round fights, and by the 12th, 13th round, the fighters could hardly lift their arms around each other. And, you know, that I feel like I'm one of those fighters right now. But I know what's going to happen. The minute the calls start to come in, I'm going to get my fourth win back. So let's begin in Boston on WRKO. Rita, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just want to say, why doesn't the Pope sell all that wealth from the Vatican and help the poor directly? He can do it. There's a lot of money there.
You see that? That's not such a bad call. That wasn't bad. The woman makes sense. Since he cares about the poor so much, there are untold riches in Vatican art that could be sold to help all the unwashed masses. Rita, that's what you're saying, yes?
Right, and plus all the Catholic churches here in Massachusetts and so forth, they have an awful lot of property that could be sold.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to help the poor, isn't it? That's what I say to liberals who tell me they're so concerned about the land used to belong to the Mayans and the Aztecs. I said, so give up your house, Mr. Liberal. Take your house in San Francisco or Marin County and sell it and give it to a Mayan. Thanks, Rita. Now, it's nothing new to you, my audience, for me to launch into a reading from the Bible once in a while. I haven't done it in a while, but I'm going to read you something from Isaiah as you call. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask you if you think it describes a nation you know. Oh, sinful nation, wrote Isaiah, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have condemned the Holy One of Israel. They are turned away backward. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and festering sores. Your country is desolate. Listen to this line. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. It's shocking. Our nation is being devoured by strangers right now. Strange to our customs, strange to our language, strange to our ways. And who is Nancy Pelosi pushing? The strangers who are devouring us. Who is Obama pushing tonight during his press conference? The strangers who are devouring us. And what Isaiah was saying is the land is desolate, as though it had been overthrown by floods. He wasn't saying it had been overthrown by floods. He was saying because the soul had gone out of ancient Israel due to the behavior of the people, it had become desolate. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. And then he says, except that the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Well, we are now Sodom and Gomorrah. But are we now Sodom and Gomorrah? The media is Sodom and Gomorrah. The government is Sodom and Gomorrah. But the people are not in Sodom and Gomorrah. The people are nowhere near Sodom and Gomorrah. The people are still following God's words. Then Isaiah goes on and says, how is the faithful city become a harlot? She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth bribes and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. And I'm going to stop right there. I don't want to overdo it. It's all about timing. How much can I read of this? I could read pretty much more of this if I really wanted to. I love Isaiah. I've always loved Isaiah. It's amazing. You ever read Isaiah 13? Set ye up an ensign upon the high mountain. An ensign upon the high mountain. What poetry in this. An ensign upon the high mountain. That's beautiful. That's beautiful writing.
Savage.
Listen to me, Michael Savage, starting January 2nd at noon. Noon, right here on Hot Savage 560 KSFO.
The Washington Times, who's been keeping her eye out for the stories that, well, I think we all find interesting.
Jennifer, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's always good to be with you.
I didn't think this would be possible, but are you actually saying Congress's poll numbers have dropped even lower than they were before?
Well, maybe you can explain this all to us, Michael, but I've really never seen a phenomenon like this. Congress's poll numbers are at rock bottom, and even the pollsters are getting to the point where they're running out of questions to ask Americans about how lousy they think Congress is. But you know what? We're here. Let's talk about two of the most interesting polls, and this is coming from Fox News, and they found that 90% of Americans, that's 90%, say that the elected officials in Washington behave like they don't have a boss. I repeat, they behave like they don't have a boss. And only 7% of the respondents here say that the lawmakers behave as if they were, quote, employees of the American people. Now, that's kind of a last time for lawmakers, but we already knew that. The same poll also found that there's a lot of woe in Washington as well. 71% of these people said that the federal government is broken, and only 6% said that things work, well, okay. And you have to start wondering when pollsters get creative with their questions like that. Well, here's another poll, too, that is on the creative side, but it's also very telling. This is coming from our friends at Gallup, and they asked Americans to rate the honesty and ethics of 22 professions. And interesting to note, 68% give high or very high ratings to police officers, even the clergy. 63% give winning marks to the clergy. But let's go down to Congress. Well, my goodness, 5% of Americans said that members of Congress had good ethics and honesty. But here's your takeaway, Mike. Car salesmen did better than Congress. That's right. We think more of our car salesmen than we do of our lawmakers. 9% have high ethics. So that is your poll for the day. Something to think about why this is. I mean, I get people from the Libertarian Party, from the Tea Party, from Republicans, Democrats, progressives, everyone is weighing in about why is this so.
And I think we have to go back to basic leadership. They're not leading. They're not doing anything. And in many cases, they're not being honest with the public. And the American public, I trust their judgment. They know when things are not right.
Look, this is the time of the year for big, big family dinners. Now the global food police are going after Christmas dinner?
Yeah, well, the global food police like to go after just about everything. But, you know, this time of year we have to pay attention when they start attacking our holiday meals like Christmas dinner and any other meal that you hold dear to your heart at this time of year. And, well, this is coming from Europe, and they have rated the worst Christmas dinners in all of Europe. And this is coming from a Swedish health group, and they have declared that the British Christmas dinner is the worst on the planet. And as most people know, the British dinner is fairly similar to what we have in America, turkey, roast beef, stuffing, pies, you know, all the good stuff, Michael. Anyway, the British meal is dead last on this list out of 20 countries, and they're saying that the typical holiday Christmas meal, 7,000 calories, 69 grams of fat. And this is coming from Lifesum. They are a Swedish group that analyzes calories and all that other stuff. I know that's something you think about on occasion. And in first place, if you're curious, that would be France, because they have roast chicken and salmon and that type of thing on their menu, followed by the Czech Republic, because they have fish soup and cold potato salad. And, of course, we have to get in on the act over here in America, and the Atlanta-based Calorie Control Council has declared that the American holiday dinner is 4,500 calories, 229 grams of fat there, Michael. And that's the equivalent of eating three sticks of butter or, if you're looking elsewhere, seven Whoppers at Burger King or nine extra large orders of French fries at McDonald's. I don't know what to make of all these. I think everybody enjoys their meal. I think the message here is just don't do it like 20 times a year. But on the other hand, if you ask Americans, what do you think of when they're nannying your Christmas dinner? Well, it's kind of live free and eat whatever. There's a reason Roop poll out there that says 76% of Americans oppose any kind of federal, state, or local government bans on foods, energy drinks, trans fats. So that is your food report for today, Michael.
From the news of the strange, you're saying George W. Bush is now becoming a hipster icon. What's a hipster icon? What does that mean?
Yeah, how about this? This is one of those political cultural moments. You go, well, how did that happen? But this is coming from Vanity Fair magazine up in New York, you know, wonderful Vanity Fair. And they had declared that George W. Bush, this is directly from their headline, has evolved from the uncoolest person on the planet to bona fide hipster icon. Now, where did they come up with that? Well, they're saying that a lot of the kids under 30 were not around. Right, you know, they were not paying attention, I think we could say. Right after 9/11, during the Bush years, they don't know all of the baggage that came along with the Bush administration, all of the controversies and economic woes and so forth and so on. That's a number one factor. But number two, they are saying at Vanity Fair that Bush quietly and ingeniously refashioned himself into an internet-friendly, cat-loving, ironic hat-wearing painter and Instagram savant. So I think they're citing George W. Bush as the latest outsider artist because he does paint now, and he's getting a little money here and there for his paintings also. And he's also constantly putting out pictures of himself or him and his granddaughter, and he's wearing his baseball cap on backwards and so forth. He loves mountain bikes, so go figure, Michael. George W. Bush, hipster icon. Is this the end of the space-time continuum as we know it? I don't know, but it's amusing.
In a recent story, you say the federal government is now the biggest media entity.
Yes, it is. And this is coming straight from the Broadcasting Board of Governors. If you don't know what the Broadcasting Board of Governors is, this is an independent federal agency. And some of their media products, this is all going overseas, Michael. Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio and TV Marti, Radio Free Asia, the Middle East Broadcasting Networks of Al Hura, and Radio Sawa. These are all going overseas. Well, guess what? Their weekly audience, this
is about the largest in the world, 206 million people a week. That's up 30 million since last year. And just to give you a little context here, Michael, Fox News, you know, that's the number one news station in cable news. They draw about 8 million people a week. So these broadcast entities are all coming under the federal government, 206 million people. And what they are saying, this is coming again from the Broadcasting Board of Governors, they are strategically critical for U.S. foreign policy. This is what the agency is saying. And coming directly from the chairman, that is Jeff Shell, is his name. He says, our journalists produce high-quality programming. We're finding fresh ways to innovate in content delivery. This makes it possible for the networks to reach record-breaking audience, and this is their mission, Michael. We help to nurture and sustain free, open, democratic societies by supporting free press, free expression, and by conveying the American democratic experience to countries where the media is not free. So that was kind of an eye-opener to me. Who would have thought, with all the caterwaul about our broadcast and cable entities, that it's the federal government that has the largest reach out there on the planet.
Jennifer, where can my listeners read more of your work?
You can always find me at WashingtonTimes.com, and if you're a Twitter person, I am Harper Bulletin on Twitter.
Jennifer Harper, thanks again for being with us on the Savage Nation.
It's always my pleasure, Michael.
I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know how many famous English novels have titles that came from the Bible? Can you name five? Can you name five popular novels of the last century, certainly not of this century, that came from the Bible? I can name one popular novel of this century that came from the Bible, because my title to my last novel, A Time for War, came from the Bible. When I was stumped for a title for the second in the Jack Hatfield series, I said, Michael, if it was good enough for Hemingway, if the Bible was good enough for Hemingway for a title, if the Bible was good enough for John Steinbeck for a title, why don't you look into the Bible? And lo and behold, it was A Time for War. So the Bible can be a source of inspiration for us in many ways, whether you take it as the Word of God, or words of wisdom. When my son was a little boy, I dedicated one of my children's books to him. And I said to Russ, who both follows and leads the way, I thought that was a very, very important dedication, basically to my son, who both follows and leads the way. Because in the beginning they follow, and eventually they should lead us. That's the whole object of the transition of generations. That's what it's all about. Last night, after the show, I was really exhausted. I went home, was watching TV, and I watched the Mormon Tabernacle Choir from 2006. It was one of the most stirring Christmas shows I've ever seen in my life. It was so beautiful. I wished I could have been there. I don't know who the woman was. She was singing, and she was sort of an opera singer, and the choir was so wonderful. But the story was that of a king who was leading a peasant boy or a beggar boy through the snow. And the boy couldn't follow him. His feet were sticking in the snow and he was freezing. And they were singing about how the feet got cold, the boy's feet got cold. And the king turned around and said to him, step in my footsteps, son, and your feet will be warm. And the boy stepped in his footsteps instead of into the raw, cold snow. And soon his feet warmed and his whole body warmed. I said, what a beautiful piece of poetry that is. Of course, that's God leading man. We're supposed to follow in God's footsteps. And that's Father leading son. Supposed to lead son in his footsteps. I thought that was beautiful. And then you look around our country today, the hollowed out, degenerate nation that we are, the dying plant, with the horrible, sinful nation we're living in. And this hullabaloo over the Duck Dynasty thing is to me, it's a flashpoint of where this country's going to go. It's going to go so hard right so fast, no one is going to know what hit them. See, one thing about the degenerates of Hollywood, they can smell money. One thing about these sick creatures in Hollywood, they can smell money. They have a nose for money like you can't believe. And they've seen what this country has had enough of, and they know where they want to go with this country. They want to know where the media is going. I'll tell you where it's going, hard right.
Now I'll take your calls and see what words of wisdom are out there for us on the Savage Nation. Again, the show is a different one than we've had all year. It's your one chance for an unscreened call. What have you wanted to say on radio all year long but couldn't? Here's your one chance. Only rule, no cursing, no death wishes. 800-449-8255 is the Savage Nation. Boy, what great callers. KOA Denver. Carol on KOA in Denver. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I wanted to tell you that Abraham never set foot in a synagogue. He never went to a church. And yet he was called a friend of God because of his faith. And I implore you, and I send you this message, that just put your faith in God and just trust and know that everything is going to be okay, because it is he who is in charge of everything.
I agree with you. I have had very dark moments in my life. I've walked through the valley, and I'll tell you this. If I look back over my life, over the years and days I've spent worrying, most of them were a waste of time. The worry brought me nothing. The worry brought me nothing. Thinking, yes. Worrying, what does it change? Tell me what worrying changes. Does it change anything for the better? No. So feeling bad, does it change anything? Do you think someone's going to say, oh, look, poor boy is feeling bad. Let's give him what he wants. It doesn't work that way. No one cares if you feel bad. The only one who suffers from feeling bad is you. So therefore, stop feeling bad immediately. Does that make sense to you? It's all in God's hands at the end of the day. I have to look back and say, as Blake wrote, and then Huxley translated for all of us when he wrote, life must be lived forward, but can only be understood backward. That as I look backward over my life, I would say that every step of the way, there was a hand guiding my feet. So in that regard, I think I found my faith all over again tonight. It's come back to me. Why? I don't know. How it works? I don't know. It's just come back into my being. For a while, I was wandering around. I didn't believe in anything again, but I feel it all over again. I think 2014 is going to be a wonderful year for America. I think some shocks are going to hit us like you can't believe. There are going to be political shocks that you could never believe. Unexpected things are going to happen to some of the most evil people who have taken this wonderful nation of ours and taken it off a cliff. Some horrible things are going to occur that we can't even predict. We can't. I don't believe God wants to see America disappear from the planet as these phenomenal leftist socialists are trying to do on a daily basis. Shall I list the things they have done and they want to do? I'm not going to do it again. I've written the books. Tonight's a night for talking. Tonight is a night for talking. Because you really are my family. I mean, I have a family. Thank God they have me. For better or for worse, they have me anyway. But my radio family is the biggest thing in my life. I have to tell you, I know you don't want to hear it and you shouldn't say it, but of course my natural family is more important to me. I'm not saying that. But outside of them, you are it. When we talk and I hear conversation of the kind we're having tonight, I come alive. What can I say? I said this from the beginning when I entered radio. I'll never forget it. First week, I said 21 hours a day, I crawl like every other human being on the planet. I crawl because at the end of the day, we're just earthlings. We're earth beings. We can rarely soar. And I said for 3 hours a day, I transcend the zoological order and I become something universal. Something else altogether, and that's an art form. The painter feels the same thing. The musician should feel the same thing. What do you think motivates a person to study an instrument for so many years? You think they do it because they have to do it? They do it because they get such a high off it when they do it right. They transcend their body. They transcend the zoological order. That's what radio should be. Otherwise, it's too prosaic. The word is prosaic otherwise. So anyway, thanks for helping me soar. 800-449-8255, but we are sold out. I don't even think we have one open line. When we do, I'll let you know. I'm going to take some calls. Monica on WABC, fire away, unscreened on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I felt God when you spoke tonight. I felt God let you live your life with all your ups and downs. He's with you. I believe when you mentioned Isaiah, you are absolutely inspired. And when you said, pray, Well, he's a saint. Isaiah is a saint. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and will hear your prayer, was said by St. Padre Pio. And my real reason for calling, well, you just knocked my socks off. I mean, I felt God speaking. You are meant for this time. You are getting
wow.
spot.
Well, you know, when I said, what has worry ever gotten me? The answer is nothing. Thought, yes. Worry, no. And when I said that, I was thinking through my own life, what has worry gotten me? Nothing. Everything I've ever worried about never happened. It almost never happened. All my fears and worries have never come to anything. So what good is it going forward? If I could just stop it for one day, it would be a miracle for me. What is the point of worrying? Thinking, yes. Think. It's the only salvation. But worry, what's the point? What, it changes nothing. Are you saying that that was stated by an ancient religious figure? I believe you're correct, because by all odds, I shouldn't be on the air, and I shouldn't be alive. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but I'm telling you that I know that to be those two things to be a fact, what I just said to you. It's an act of, just a divine act that I'm sitting here at all speaking with you. But I make a prediction that 2014 is going to be a year of shocks for America and the world that none of us can predict. And like a good novel, America will be saved at the last minute from the evildoers who have taken it over. I'm telling you, we will have our day before God. These thieves will be stopped.
Savage.